very much for joining us for another episode of From the Horse's Mouth, where Ruby Walsh, Matthew Chapman and Fran Berry all look ahead to Galway and Goodwood. We're heading towards what is a bank holiday weekend here in Ireland. It's a long time for those in the racing industry. You think after 7 days of Galway, they get the Monday off. Two meetings on Monday as well. I say that goes down well, Ruby, that it always falls, isn't it? There's a nice card usually on the Monday and another one, isn't there?
Call the bank holiday, PK.
Yeah.
We can do lots of things in racing, but unfortunately we can't shift the bank holidays around, and there's always double meetings on the bank holiday.
I don't believe that. There is absolutely no way the Walsh family can't shift bank holidays in Ireland. I mean, literally.
I'll tell you what's more, Matt. If my father had his way, there probably would be no such thing as a bank holiday. He really does not believe in them. Like, he just thinks that they are an absolute waste of time. So,
they're probably one of the things that 95% of the country looks forward to. And Ted Walsh would just be like, nah, get rid of them. Bah, bah, boo.
Waste of time.
Fran Berry, you're a man now who's working in the industry. Are you looking forward to a day off? I bet you're working on a bank holiday.
I am. I'm in Cork on Monday, actually. So there you go. Yeah. But I'm off Thursday and Friday this week.
Happy
so I'll get in a game of golf and all that kind of thing.
Lovely, yeah, jubbly. Yeah. And you're going to stay in Galway on Thursday, Friday? Lovely.
I'm going home tonight, taking 2 days out. I'll be fresh for the weekend for the flat action.
Good idea. Go on, Matt.
Well, have you upgraded since yesterday? Yesterday you had the single bed. Now you've gone for you seem to have gone for the big double. Have you upgraded?
We just wheeled into the next door room, Matt. So the suite was taken over by a few undesirables. So there you go.
Interesting, you've used the words "we did," but anyway, yeah.
Again, to fill people in, and this is a podcast, but we're looking at Fran Berry in a hotel room, a very salubrious looking hotel room in Galway, as he works for RTE and RTV and all these teams. Right, let's look ahead to Friday, fabulous Friday racing, lads. We're going to kick off at Goodwood. It is a 2.5 mile handicap to kick off the card, so this is going to be really tricky. Matthew Chapman, fresh off loads of winners yesterday. Give us the winner of the 2.5 miler.
Yes, still celebrating, of course, the fact that we were all in on that huge win in the Group 1. But anyway, look, it's a bit annoying that Willie Mullins hasn't got anything in this that we could just all lump on. But anyway, I've gone for an old character, has form with juice. I tipped it up at Royal Ascot, a former Royal Ascot winner. Talented but quirky. A little bit of Ruby Walsh about this animal. But I'm going with Coeur de Lion, who's an old boy, Alan King, Group 1 winning trainer. We all know what we get with him. Sometimes he puts it in, sometimes he doesn't. But he's been dropped a pound for finishing sixth at Royal Ascot. That's probably not going to make that much difference because it's more about whether it's in his head or not. But it's better than going up a pound. He's won on heavy ground at Chester, should the heavens open. I'm going to go with Coeur de Lion each way, the old boy.
Yeah, so when you say old boy, there's plenty of them in this race. You got Withhold, he's an 8-year-old, the Grand Vizier, the Who Dares Wins, also approaching 10, the Max We Can as well. He's been in plenty of these races. So, Ruby, some old favourites in this.
Yeah, look, I looked at Coeur de Lion as well, but the fact that he's had two runs in Goodwood in this race and only managed to finish 8th and 9th in them kind of put me off him, and that sent me back to Just Hubert, who won the race last year, has good form around Goodwood, won it off 88 last year, he's down to 87 this year, and Ray Dawson claims 3 off his back, so I went for Just Hubert.
Ah, Just Hubert has been tipped up, or Ray Dawson's been tipped up plenty on the pod over the last few days. Fran?
Number 4, Elysian Flame, coming down from Yorkshire from the Easterbys, ran it superbly well in the Ascot Stakes with Turtle Rishoon. He's won around Hamilton in the past, quirky turning right-handed track. Goodwood will suit him very well, and he was a very good winner at Newbury prior to Ascot. I don't think we've seen the best team yet. 2.5 miles with Danny Tuttle taking the ride. He'll do me.
We'll move on to a really interesting Group 3. It's the Bottoms Thoroughbred Stakes. This is a very, very good race. You've got the unbeaten Baid. You've also got Cartoon for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien. El Drama for Roger Vernon and Andrea Etzeni. Really good race, this one. Matt, what are your thoughts?
It's a tricky one, this, because, I mean, I've tipped Baid. But it's kind of weird, this horse. I mean, handicapping of certain horses is bizarre. Two-year-olds in particular, summer jumpers in particular, and Baid, because he is now rated 100
and Cartoon.
He's now rated 119, having won a listed race off 104. The handicap has put it up £15 for a 4-length win. Now, all those ratings are kind of irrelevant because it's not running in a handicap. But after just 3 runs, now Baid is £6 off being the best horse in the world. And if you think about that, it's crazy, as it's only just won a listed race. Look, I've no idea whether he's as good as his rating. I think it's a ridiculous rating, but he has looked really impressive. And Haggis is a very good trainer. So I'm going with Baid. But I've got to be honest, I don't know whether he's good enough to win this. I'm hoping he is.
Ruby?
Sorry, Matt was putting me to sleep there. I didn't have a massively strong opinion. I would agree with Matt. I don't know where handicap has gotten 119 for Baid. I think Khartoum could be overrated as well. I mean, he got beaten in a listed race the last day and looked like he was just hanging on for third. Tactical is a decent horse in his day. Maybe Tasman Bay was second in Ascot over a mile and a half. Was second prior to that in Newmarket over 10 furlongs behind John Leaper. I know he's coming down a trip, but he has been running in pretty decent risks.
Yeah, trained by Sir Mark Todd, ex-eventer, so an Olympics team there. Fran, your thoughts?
I'm very happy to watch it and see what Baid does. I'd agree with Ruby, Tasman Bay, Sir Mark Todd, New Zealand man, Australian, that kind of racing style, dropping horse down and trip is interesting. But for me, I'm very just happy to watch the race and see how the favourite goes.
That's okay. We can do that for sure. Right. The one, the mile race at 3 o'clock, I should say, is the Golden Mile. This is a kind of like Goodwood's Royal Hunt Cup, I suppose you could say. Very similar type of race. Matt, I'm looking at the handicap and there's, you know, a spread of 105 to about 80 into 90. So we're only looking at £15 between 20 odd horses, which is kind of a common thread with these top handicaps now.
Yeah, the handicap system has become more of a conditions race system. I hate that. I don't like it at all, but it's the way we've gone. It's not going to change whatever I think. Acquitted for me each way. Hugo Palmer and the brilliant James Doyle. It's been consistent all season. Stays the mile strong. Goes with juice. It's not a well-handicapped horse, but it will bring it to the table.
Fran, I don't know if you've had any thoughts on the Golden Mile.
I like give Acquitted every chance, and I would give Johan out of stall two for the Haggis team. Ryan Moore taking the ride. Good winner at Salisbury last time, and an inside draw is a big help.
Yeah, I think they teamed up to win the race a few years ago on the Queen's Colours. I can't remember the name of the horse. Ruby, any thoughts on the Golden Mile?
My lack of Goodwood knowledge was pushing me to the high draws because I thought they would be coming for the stand side rail if the ground was still slow, and I was going for the high numbers and maybe Quasar from Richard Hannon. The only worry I had was for a Hannon horse, he's never run him in Goodwood before, and that probably is a question mark as to why not.
He does like to run them there. Okay, 3:35 is a big race. It is the King George Qatar Stakes, a Group 2. It's a race that Battash has farmed, and I guess he's going to be a short price to win it again. He's top rated, he's clear rated. I'm going to start with you again, Matt. Is there any reason Battash doesn't win this? The ground, maybe?
Well, the ground's not a problem, really. I mean, it's won an Abbe in very soft ground. No excuse there. Look, I suppose the only thing you could say is he had a delayed start to his season. He actually did run huge at Ascot despite fall. Some might have been disappointed with that, but he faced a huge amount of pace pressure. So you could actually argue it was a great comeback rather than a bad comeback. But there is that old little thing, the old bounce factor. Did he put so much in that he'll take longer to get over it? I don't think so. This is his backyard. It's a good renewal. Dragon is good. Dragon Symbol. The French horse Wazer, I think he's not out of it each way either. But I suspect Battash will have blown most of them away after a couple of furlongs.
Yeah, and just explain to the non-regular customer, or non-regular punter, the difference between Ascot and Goodwood. They're quite different tracks, right?
I mean, they are different, but I mean, similar in some ways. There are downhill sections, but at Ascot, you go uphill just towards the end of the race. Whereas here at Goodwood, it's basically freewheeling all the way. And that's what Battash is built for. Dragon Symbol's been running over six. It's hard to believe that he will be fast enough. He doesn't get that much weight, even though he's a youngster. And Battash goes hell for leather. Look, if Battash flopped, then there are a whole load of horses that come into the mix. But if Battash turns up, I think he'll have too much pace for all of them once again.
Brilliant. I'll just give you the quick rundown of the price. We do have them at the moment. 6-5 Battash, 7-2 Dragon Symbol, 7-1 Liberty Beach, 10-1 Arecibo and Our Power, and Glass Slippers and Swayze. It's 20-1 and bigger than the rest. I'm kind of surprised, Fran, that Battash is odds against. I guess our traders are thinking there's more to it than that defeat last time out. It's not just a case of he's gone at the... Or sorry, they maybe think he's maybe not the horse he was.
Look, you know, Ascot was here to see and he burned himself out and given his first run of the year on his back at a track that he thrives on. But look, 6-5 with the 13 runners, happy to watch Batash and take him on. I do think if the ground stays on the easy side and again a little bit more rain even, Keep Busy's the wrong price at 20-1. I do think the fact she ran so well in Ascot, she went to air. Okay, she wasn't as good as Sandown when last seen, but back at Goodwood with a cut in the ground with Ryan Moore riding for John Quinn, who's got a good record, of course. El Astronaut won yesterday, is also interesting. And Dragon Symbol, will he stay straight for Oshie Murphy? He's got a tendency to hang right. He doesn't help himself. However, he's highly talented.
He sure is. Ruby?
Yeah, I think the fact that you don't have Winter Power, Maven and Kuamora, that's a big help to Batash. They went with him in the King Stand in Ascot and they burned him out. There was real pressure early in the race on Batash and that just caught him out in his first run of the season. I think from watching him in Goodwood last year, I think somewhere, it doesn't have to be as good as he was last year to win here. I think even being a little bit less would still be good enough.
Okay, a couple of votes for Batash. Right, one more race to go at Goodwood. This is a good one, actually. It's not a handicap. And Matt, this is the mile and a half Queen's Plate. Mogul, now he's doing what I suppose already of Australia and Japan have done and kind of coming back in grade this season to try and get a win. He's 5-2 favourite. You Can Glen 7-2 and Passion and Glory, same price. 10-1 Alunak and Outbox 12-1, a bigger the rest. Are you a Mogul man?
Well, it's kind of D-Day, isn't it? I actually think he's a big price because this is, I mean, he basically is miles better than this lot, but he hasn't been running very well. But his win in the Hong Kong Vase was good. Look, I think he prefers faster ground. So it might depend a little bit how much it dries out by 4:10 on Friday. But for me, he's absolutely the class act. I mean, if he can't win this, they might as well retire him because he's becomes a pointless horse, really, for Coolmore. But he should just completely outclass this. And on his best form, he is a massive price.
Yeah, I'm just not a Morgul fan. But pick him one to beat him. I can't see which one. But no, I'd be for watching this because I'm just not a Morgul fan.
That's fine. And Fran?
Mogul has, in a couple of WhatsApp groups, has been called variations of his name on various occasions. So he has. And look, it's a great opportunity for him to get another win on the board. If he turns up, whether Goodwood will suit him, we don't know. Again, a bit like Ruby, happy to watch it. You Can Glen, he's tight enough to betting, but he does come here on a real upward curve and he will enjoy the ground.
Okay. Right, Matt, before you toddle off into the Goodwood sunshine, give us your nap on Friday.
It's tricky for a nap. I tell you what, let's just be very boring. Let's hope Batash makes history.
It's not like you. You're very boring.
Well, I put Ruby to sleep twice already.
You have, actually.
What a great pod this is. Fran's going to spend the day watching the telly, hasn't really got any thoughts at all. Ruby's fallen asleep. You're just giggling the whole way through. I'm the only sensible person here.
Sensible. If that's the case, then we may as well give up. Matt, go off and enjoy your Pimm's or whatever you drink at Goodwood. We're going to concentrate on Galway now.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Friday is very much the turning point of the Galway Festival, lads, isn't it? Because, I mean, we're talking about, it is obviously an all jumps card, but the class does lower somewhat. That said, Willie Mullins has got plenty of runners, and in the 4 o'clock, the James Gate Maiden Hurdle, two of those are declared in Gammon Original and Purple Mountain. Tell us about those, Ruby.
Yeah, Purple Mountain was a dual bumper winner. Surprised she got beaten on her first start in December 2019, but she made a count then when she beat Colonel Mustard at Killarney, beat Shearless in Gorn, was disappointed behind Grand G at the Dublin Racing Festival, but her bumper form is rock solid. She's a good jumper. I think she takes all the beating, PK.
Fair enough, Fran. Any thoughts on this or we move on?
Happy to watch first to second race. That opportunity handicap hurdle is a standout here, isn't her? Hallowed Star, trained by Char Canlan. Jordan Gainford, promising young rider, top conditional, booked to ride. He went to Roscommon on the back of a break following the Punchestown Festival. Wasn't sure if it was going to be the day for him. It was. He won. He's got a £5 in the ratings. He's got in here as top weight just. He will take quite a bit of beating.
Do the Mee family have an issue with winning races elsewhere, or what's the crack like?
They just love Galway.
They must do.
Michael has a couple of horses, or Mike and me would appear him when he's obviously the colours run in his mum's name, Annette. But no, they just go to Galway every year and they enjoy Galway, and they have horses to run at Galway. And yeah, and I think even if you go back, Fran has said about the run in Roscommon for Hollow Star, but if you go back to his maiden hurdle run in Leopardstown behind Wide Receiver, Decimation, Snake Oil, MC Muldoon, Hollowed Star. I think he looks a bit of a blot.
Okay, very interesting. Watch out for him in the 4:30. The Guinness Galway Tribes Handicap. This is probably the consolation race, isn't it, for the Galway Hurdle, Ruby? And you actually said, you flagged up to us and the preview that watch out for anything Tom Mullins gets in the race. Tell me he's got something in there.
Yeah, he's a good record in the race, but I think with the amount of horses that actually missed the cut in this year's Galway Hurdle, Tom runs Excelsius, who was a runaway winner in Killarney, and beat by the same token, was quite impressive in Killarney that day. Sean O'Keefe attains the ride. One I would have fancied in the Galway Hurdle had it got in was Arcadian Sunrise. Thought that was really impressive in Punchestown, and it beat Future Proof. That gets in here. Bally Oisin is coming back from a layoff. Willie runs Getaway Gorgeous. I do believe Rob Catterton is involved in Getaway Gorgeous, and Rula Bula, who your predecessor Tom Nugent is involved in. So, look, plenty of chances, but I nearly before Arcadian Sunrise, I thought Arcadian Sunrise was a big runner, or he was a big runner in the Galway Hurdle.
Best of luck to Tom Nugent, but Rula Bula. Fran, your thoughts on the Galway Tribes?
Proper handicap hurl, make case for a lot of them. I do like Advance Fargo on the back of that comeback run at Limerick in earlier this month. First run since the Dublin Race Festival. He didn't run too badly in that big handicap hurl. Prior to that, he was a really good winner at Ferry House at their big November meeting. He's a winner on Galway in the flat. He gets in off of mark 1-3-1. Rider Carl Landers is in good form this summer, and Advance Fargo do me.
Lovely jubbly. The 5:30 is the Guinness Handicap Hurdle. It's another very good pot, €80,000, but this time we're up and trip, 2 miles, 6.5 furlongs. Again, Willie Mullins has got a few. He's got four declared. Stratton, My Sister Sarah, French Maid, and Jazz Away. We've already seen My Sister Sarah. She's okay since her first run.
Ran respectable in the Connacht Hotel Handicap behind Coulter. She was second in this race last year behind My Sister Sarah. She's a definite chance. Stratum is in great form. Ran here last year and was disappointing, but it was his first run of the season. He went from there to finish second in the Lonsdale at York after that. He's in really good nick at the minute. Obviously, the last time we saw him, he was winning at Royal Ascot. He's in particularly good order. He's in a great state of mind. French Maid, we haven't seen in a very long time. The decent mare in her day, I think I actually won on her way back when, tells you how long she's around. Jazzaway won at the Punchestown Festival. Lingwood Gold will be an eye-catcher for many people after his run behind Coulter here on Monday night when he stood in the stalls. But his jump form is pretty in and out. Lynwood Golds.
Would you be really worried about that when he hasn't jumped out his last two runs? Okay, stalls, but he's going back jumping. Do you think he's thrown in the towel? I know he ran an eye catcher on Monday, but
I think he's thrown in the towel. I watched him in Punchestown, Puppy Road, and behind Capodanno in a hurdle race, and he was the first horse beaten. He was beaten after jumping two hurdles. So yeah, you have to question Lynwood Golds' mentality at the minute. But I'm just saying, or I think Fran, a lot of people will have picked him out for Monday.
Big time. He'll be all the rage tomorrow in the back of that eye catching run. When they start doing that, you'd have to question how they got the resolve for it.
If I can nail you 1-2-1, Ruby, in that race.
Stratum's a course winner. I think I won a maiden hurdle on Stratum here way back a long, long time ago. He ran behind Tudor City in the Galway Hurdle. As I flicked down through it, I did. He beat Gaga's horse in a maiden hurdle here in 2017. So he has course form, and I think he's in great nick.
Stratum then for Ruby. Fran?
I like Tronador. I thought that was a very good run in the flat back at Killarney. He was a good winner at Aintree, probably when he went off a bit quick and he was ridden cold, finished strongly. Still a bit of upside to him. I like Tronador number 9, Jack Kennedy riding for Denise Foster.
Very competitive handicap hurdle and looking forward to that. Now, another beginner's chase, this time at 6:05. And two Willie Mullins, Rich Ritchie horses to keep an eye on, Carl de Grossa and Graham Barnard. Carl de Grossa, it hasn't been seen in a while. Graham Barnard, like, these are no superstars, I think it's fair to say, Ruby, these two?
Yeah, I don't think you're being harsh there, PK. Graham Barnard probably hasn't lived up to expectations. Was fourth to the Devil's Coachman in a maiden hurdle in Cork, then second to Grand Paradis and got off the mark on his third attempt. Has been a bit disappointing since. Carl de Grossa, he's a bit like the weather. He's been very in and out. But I think Russian Diamond is the one here for me, for Emmett Mullins. thought that was very eye-catching behind Fan de Blue at Punchestown on his debut over fences.
The green second and purple colour.
All in at Galway the year before.
That's it. The green and purple colours of the Mies again. This time, Russian Diamond. Defran?
Just 1 second, lad. Sorry. Excuse me. Sorry. Thank you. They're just getting rid of a bird there. Sorry.
What kind of a bird? Ornithological bird? Or are we talking a human bird?
It must be nearly checkout time.
Well, okay. Well, at least she's left. Ish. Were you hiding her in the bathroom for the entire podcast? And she finally decided it's time to leave. Oh, very good. Right, what are your thoughts on this race? Or what are her thoughts on the beginner's chase, Fran?
I want to ask now, actually. No, she's gone. I'm very interested in Henry de Bromhead's runner, Dara O'Keefe, riding the Rory. Ruby had me out with the pronunciation here since it's not great.
Lord Dalion, yes, is it?
Yeah, very interested. I've gone chasing with that one on the back of that good main hurl win at Cork recently. Have to take note of that.
Okay. Keep an eye out for that. Now, the Arthurgunnis Chase, at the time recording, folks, 6:40 is obviously the race on Friday night. Now, a few of these are entered in the Goy Plate. We haven't seen the Goy Plate at this stage, so this could be all null and void, but you've got Battle Over Doyen, Sam Crow, Animix, they're all in the race, and they're all, of course, due to run on Wednesday. However, we have the race, we have the declarations. Fran, actually, Ruby, I actually said we won't bother do this race, but you said to me, hang on, I do fancy one.
Yeah, I fancy Drasso. Either way, Luke Dempsey retains the ride. He won a chase on him in Tipperary, or in the stall even, when the races were confined to guys who hadn't had ridden that many winners the year before, and he's been left on him, got a good tune out of him. Was second behind Saul Pretender and Tipperary. I think Drasso will win.
Tough race to look this far out for Fran, to be fair.
Yeah, Phoenix Way is interesting coming over though for Harry Fry. Litterdale's sea runs again on Friday, ran very well in the amateur handicap on Monday in Coleman, booked and should be all the better. Yeah, has a good record fresh and seems to like small fields. Could be interesting if the race does cut up, but want to see how the Galway play goes before we make any calls on it.
Oh, that's fair enough. Kind of similar comments can apply often to the Goy Blazers, particularly with the top weight. The Goy Blazers draw for 7:10, 3 in it for Willie Mullins, Ponta Venn, Harry and Sapphire Lady. But Ruby, I want to ask you about a horse at the top of the weights, Wave of the Sea, who's a reserve for the Goy Play at the time of recording. And I think you had said...
No, he's not, PK. He's gone since yesterday morning. They've changed the rules. I don't agree with them. I think they've changed the rules now in Ireland that the declarations are the reserves for the Galway Plate and the Galway Hurdle come out at 10 a.m. the day before. Okay. Now, people will say that's to stop people making late changes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, we want a full field in the Galway Plate and in the Galway Hurdle. And you have to give the people who are paying to keep these horses in training the opportunity to get to run. And you've taken that away by removing the reserves from the day before. And I would have left that till 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning that you had to take them out. And then at least you've known what the weather forecast was on Tuesday night. You know what rain fell or didn't fall as it transpired. So maybe there will be a few non-runners in the Galway Plate. I think it's too early. I think the reserve system in Ireland works. And I would have left it alone. That's only my opinion. Other people's opinions will differ. So a Wave of the Sea cannot run in the Galway Plate at the time of recording, no matter what happens. And he's top weight here, but I actually prefer... Willie has 3 in it. Best of luck to them. They're honest horses. That'll do their best. But I like number 8, Aramax. I think going up in triple really suit him.
Fran?
Mad about Dunvegan. Pat Fye's runner thought that comeback run the flat at Leopardstown recently, given the form that ever-present is rated 100 now. He's only beaten less than a length and a quarter by him, finishing off strongly. And prior to that, Punchestown Festival, a very good third to Foxy Jacks. Pat Fye, Galway man, real target trainer for these festivals. For me, Dunvegan will go very well.
Interesting. Just a bumper to finish off with the Hop House 13. If there's any going spare, lads, we'll happily take it off you here in the From the Horses Mouth podcast. There's 2 in it I wanted to mention, Ruby, from the Willie Mullins yard. Both previous winners from their only starts. Danny Barcelona, who surely is related to Danny California, I'm assuming. Same colours. And Ashro Diamond, who was a lovely winner on debut. Tough decision for Patrick, I'd imagine.
Danny Barcelona is actually Danny California's daughter. You're dead right. They are related. That was absolute Sherlock Holmes stuff.
Thanks very much.
It was. But no, I would be all for Ashro Diamond. You can only win any race, but she couldn't have won it any more impressively at Wexford when she beat Bantown Girl. And I would be with Astro Diamond.
Interesting. Fran, I know there's a horse in green and purple colours here in the last, trained by Emmett Mullins, called the Gossiper. Might be fancied as well.
Yeah, but Emmett Mullins has three runners in the race. Uh-huh. And Le Hinch Tree was a good winner at Kilbeggan also. And his other runner, Sheena Will as well. So like previous winner at Bellystown. So which one is the best one, or will you run three? I don't know, but watch the market for that.
Fair enough. Listen, lads, enjoy the Friday. Enjoy your couple of days off, Fran. Although you said you're off on Friday, I think I'm ringing you on Friday for the podcast. So don't enjoy it too much.
I'll be ready to look ahead
to the Galway weekend and of course the Stewards Cup amongst other races at Goodwood on Saturday. Ruby, back to Galway you go from your confines in County Kildare. I tell you, you're racking up some miles. Are you expensing these to Paddy Power? Are you?
I wish, PK. No, I had children to go to an event this morning, so I want to give my wife a hand, get ponies ready to go.
And before I get the maps, Ruby, you've been presenting on RT, which is a change in tune to you. You're not pundit anymore. Fran, have you seen this? You've obviously been working. Have you seen Ruby presenting the RT coverage?
I was with him.
Oh, you're with him on Tuesday. Yeah, you have seen it.
Hey, Ruby, we lost viewers already. PK didn't even watch us.
I know, yeah. That's how well I went.
I had you on the background. How do you find it, Ruby?
Yeah, look, it is obviously very different. But yeah, I did enjoy it. It was a change of role, different sort of pressure. And yeah, it was enjoyable. I mean, all the drama of the... Yeah. Wrong horse running on Tuesday and trying to deal with that and take instruction in your ear as you actually are talking is not quite as easy as people might think.
That's very hard. I would say that is very hard. It takes a while to get used to. Do you have an auto cue?
No.
No auto cue.
No auto cue.
All right.
But anyway,
no anchor man up.
I don't think I butchered it, and I think that I'll take that as a start.
You did well. You did very well. I'll give you a few tips, though. Don't worry. Right, lads, get naps for Friday very quickly and then we can let you go.
I'd say Fran is going to nap. Hallowed star.
Yes, you took the words out of my mouth, Ruby. As you said, could be a blot. I think he is a blot. This has been a target for him. I would give Advanced Fargo and Dun Vegan mentions in them Handicap Hurl and Handicap Chase, but Hallowed Star, he'd be very popular. I'd be backing him early.
Come on, Fran. There's maiden hurdles and novice chases, and you pick one and a dare opportunity Handicap Hurdle. Ruby, your best bet. And remember, Goodwood is available to you as well.
Purple Mountain.
Purple Mountain, lovely jubbly, and that goes in the 4 o'clock. So our two naps from the lads go 4 and 4:30. First two races, you'll know your fate. Gentlemen, we'll be back on Friday to look ahead to the weekend racing. Enjoy the next couple of days. Enjoy the bit of golf. Fran, we'll talk to you on Friday. Ruby, thanks very much. As always, to all our listeners, please do subscribe and, of course, keep it fun, folks. That's the idea. If you do feel you are struggling, there is plenty of help available. Do search Responsible Gaming at paddyplayer.com and you will find all the tools you may or may not need. Right, lads, enjoy the next couple of days. We'll talk to you Friday.